Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah chapter 31. In verse 9, Yahweh promises his remnant people, "With pleas for mercy, I will lead them back. I will lead them to streams of water and by a sure way so that they will not stumble, because I am a father to Israel." This is our text. Imagine for a moment growing up in the same house your entire childhood, and then years after you moved out, when your parents have both died, you inherit that home and decide to live there with your family. Several years later, you need to enter the attic above the garage to make a repair. But you see, you have never before been in the attic. And when you enter with your flashlight, you are surprised to find a number of paintings. And there's actually one that you like a lot. And so you decide to have it reframed and restored, cleaned up, so that you can put it on a prominent wall in your living room. And when you go to pick it up at the restoration business, the person there asks, "Did you know that this painting is actually a priceless original that was thought to be lost?" You can't believe it. This treasure was in the house all those years, in the attic. And you could have been enjoying it all that time. Friends, that's the kind of feeling that I experienced this week when I started digging deeply into our Old Testament reading today. It has been right there in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, all this time. But you see, for the last 28 years of my pastoral ministry, I have been a slave to what is tradition. This lovely treasure, though, of text has gone unappreciated because of it. Not once have I taken it up to preach upon it until today. Do you know why? Well, it's this time of year, depending upon how the Sundays fall in the calendar, that we are usually celebrating Reformation or All Saints Sunday. And I have to apologize to all of you that wore your red specifically for Reformation. But you see, that is not a legal matter. We are bound to that. But because of that tradition, these standard readings for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost just kind of stay unnoticed in the liturgical attic. But no longer. We, here at Mount Calvary, much to your fashion dismay perhaps, we are delaying our Reformation and All Saints celebrations until next Sunday, which is actually closer to Reformation Day anyway, so that as Yahweh directs his people to do in verse 7, we can, quote, "sing aloud with gladness, proclaim and give praise to Yahweh, because he has restored and saved us as his remnant people." Now, to truly appreciate this little treasure of a text, we need to spend just a moment understanding what was going on with Jeremiah and the people of Israel when Yahweh first directed Jeremiah to proclaim and record it. The year is 587 BC, one of the darkest times in all of Israel's history. You see, the majority of Jeremiah's prophecies are proclamations of God's law and judgment against the people. I mean, he wasn't called the weeping prophet for no reason. God directed Jeremiah to proclaim God's harsh reality against those people because of their rebellion, because of their worship of false gods, and their sinful disregard for God's word of truth. Things were so bad that the tribes of Israel had become divided against each other. The northern 10 tribes, they were no longer worshiping Yahweh at the temple at Jerusalem, if they were worshiping Yahweh at all. And all 12 of the tribes were either under the influence of or in utter fear of the pagan nations around them. Jeremiah told the people over and over that God's judgment against their sin was going to come, and it was going to come at them from the north if they didn't amend their ways, which it did, in the form of the Assyrian army first, 150 years earlier, when they overtook the northern tribes. And now, in 587 BC, when King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon came and destroyed Jerusalem's walls, burned the temple, and took the last of God's tribes away into exile for 70 years. These captives, at the time of this text, are now wondering, what have we done? Are we finished as God's people? Will Yahweh ever take us back? I don't know about you, but when I compare their situation to ours today, I see many stark comparisons to the status of God's people right now. Don't you? The one holy Christian church, the new kingdom of Israel under Jesus after he died, rose, and ascended to prepare our place in heaven, it is seriously divided again. There are more divisions within the church today than can be counted. Many who claim to believe and worship Christ, they don't even believe that the entire Bible is God's inerrant, perfect word of truth from the beginning to the end anymore. Others actually give their approval to lifestyles and beliefs and behaviors that are clearly against the Ten Commandments and other parts of Scripture. And the beliefs, the principles, the powers and the pressures of the scientific and the secular government and world are pressuring and influencing, even trying to dictate what God's people in His church can and can't say and teach and practice. So that today many believers are now cowering in fear in their homes and churches. That's why it is such a wonderful thing to find this lovely text here today in the book of Jeremiah. Hidden, you might say, in the midst of all of the law and judgment, we have this beautiful bit of gospel right here that tells God's people of old, and you and me today, why the exile took place, why things are bad. As bad for the Christian church in America and around the world as they are today. In fact, Yahweh starts us off in verse 7 with a very clear word of direction, telling His people the way through and beyond the difficulty and the persecution that they find ourselves in right now. It's a reassurance that though they may be in exile right now and away from God's promised land and His holy temple, even now, in this time of discipline and judgment, they are still His beloved people. Yahweh describes His people, in fact, using four distinct terms of endearment. He starts out, "Sing aloud with gladness, for Jacob." Jacob, who later was renamed Israel, was the father, the unifying family patriarch of all the tribes of Israel. God is telling his descendants now, you are still in my family. Yahweh continues literally from the Hebrew, and cry intensely for the first of nations. Make known praise and say, O Yahweh, save your people. He is absolutely giving them a reason to cry out with intensity, even in their time of distress, because he reminds them, you are the first of nations. That's the second term. To be the third term, my people. God is distinguishing these people over against all other nations, telling them that they are the first, the down payment, so to speak, of all of the rest of the nations, that is the Gentiles, you and me now in the New Testament era, who have been and will be grafted by grace into God's family. And then the Lord concludes with a clarifying and comforting name, calling them, number four, the remnant of Israel. Even though they are right now in the grasp of their captors, to call them the remnant is to already refer to them as those who have gone through their judgment and come out of it alive and saved and restored to be the nation of Israel once again. This is God's way of giving them the assurance of hope, the confidence of his victory and salvation. And all of this is Yahweh telling his people in love to turn away from their sin and despair in repentance, and to call upon him and him alone for salvation. He's letting them know what he expects them and even us today to do here in the exile and the turmoil of our sinful ways. Remember who you are and whose you are. Sing with gladness. Shout out your praise to the one and only God, and boldly call on him in faith to save you and bring you back into his family. And then in verse 8, when we are tempted to fall into despair and think all is lost, Yahweh promises us the exact opposite. He assures us that our call for salvation will be heard, will be acted upon in mighty and miraculous ways. He says, quote, behold, I am bringing them, that is his remnant people, from the land of the north. Wow. The same place from which the judgment came and to which his judging enemies took his people. God is going into that hostile territory himself to get them. It doesn't matter how scattered, how divided, how far away from him they have been taken, or they have wandered. He continues and he says, I will gather them from the far reaches of the earth. In fact, Yahweh goes on to describe them as quite the motley, unassuming group of people. He says, among, that is in them, are the blind, the lame, the pregnant, and the ones in labor, all together. Wow, imagine that kind of group traveling. I mean, just think of that description. These people can't walk on their own. They can't see where they are going. They are burdened down with unborn children at different stages. And according to the Old Testament law, because they are, some of them, in labor, they are ceremonially unclean. These are the leftovers, not the prime parts of society. So here's the point. No matter how weak, how burdened, how beat up we may be in life, it is not up to us or about us Because it is always about the one who saves, leads, strengthens, and loves us for who we are. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In spite of our past sins, and even our continued sin, God chooses His people as they are, and He leads them then, and leads us now, to be the core of His people for the future. And through it all, He is the one who does all of the work. He finishes out verse 8 with this assurance: they will come back, a great kahal in the Hebrew. A kahal is not a political or secular group of people, but an active worshiping community, a congregation of God's changed and rejuvenated and restored people. God continues showing us His treasure in verse 9, describing His remnant people in this way: "With weeping they will return, and with supplications for mercy I will lead them back." Are those tears of joy? Of being cleansed? Of relief? Or of repentance? Yes, to all of those. And still, our merciful God is the one leading, the one doing all of this restorative work within and for us. Ah, dear people, listen to how the joy and the reason for praise just keeps building. God promises, "I will make them walk to streams of water and by a sure way so that they will not stumble." For some of us, that is a great thing of praise, right? You and I today, well, we know who and what that way is, don't we? In Psalm 23, we're told that Yahweh is my shepherd who leads me beside still waters. And in John 14, verse 6, the good shepherd Jesus declared of Himself, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When He, Jesus, is leading, gathering, and bringing us back to Himself and His family through the cleansing and the saving water of holy baptism, then friends, as long as we do not push our Savior Jesus away in unbelief, there is no way that we can stumble and not enter into heaven before the Father's throne of grace. That's the final work of assurance at the end of verse 9. And it's huge. Yahweh says, "Because I am Father of Israel and Ephraim. He is my firstborn." This is the ultimate reason for us to cherish and display this treasure that the Lord has uncovered for us today in His Word. God is and always has been Father to His people, whether they are of the tribe of Ephraim or of Judah, at the time of Jeremiah, and for us today. So no matter the trouble, no matter the disease, no matter the disability, no matter the pain or the grief that we face, our God, in His Son Jesus, saves us, restores us, embraces us by His gracious work, making us to be a nation and a people like no other in the world. That should be a big deal to all of us. Sing it aloud. then with gladness, my dear Christians. Proclaim it in all that you say and think and do. That you are a part of God's rejoicing, restored remnant forever. Amen.
Amen.
And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.